but only front and back of one page, but not a whole lot of material on this man that we'll be studying tonight. So we'll be looking in Hebrews chapter number 11 again. Hebrews chapter 11. And tonight we'll be looking at Enoch. The scripture tells us that some interesting things about him. Hasn't been too many weeks since we had a message on Enoch. But as we are doing the study, the series on Hebrews chapter 11, we're dealing with the heroes of the faith, that the scripture tells us that these are the elders that obtained a good report through faith. These are the ones that were called out, singled out by the Holy Spirit to be given to us in our scripture to give us a full understanding and a full realm of faith and how it works in our life. And tonight we'll look at Enoch. last time we dealt with Abel. Of course, there's not a lot of material on Abel. Many things are said in the book of Genesis. And tonight in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 5 and verse number 6 are the two verses that we'll be looking into on the life of this hero of the faith that obtained a good report. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5 says, "By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So tonight we look at the second of the examples given to us in the scripture, the man by the name of Enoch. These elders that obtained a good report, that had things in their life that were blessed of God because they had faith. And the scripture tells us here, without faith it is impossible to please the Lord. And just as it was impossible for Enoch to please God without faith, it is impossible for you and I to please the Lord without faith in Him. Not necessarily saving faith, but faith to believe what He has for us, that we can accomplish what He has given to us in our life. Now, there's not a whole lot of things recorded in the Bible about this this man, but what is recorded gives us some strong examples of the effect of faith upon the life of a believer. Enoch gives us that strong example of living by faith. And because of his life of faith, the scripture says God took him, God translated him, God took him home, and he did not have to face this thing of death that all of us dread. And he skipped that part, and the Lord just took him on home. Now, number 3 here on your outline says Enoch was the 7th from Adam through Adam's son, Seth. Now, we realize that you have Cain and Abel. Abel was killed by Cain. And then the Bible says that Adam and Eve had another child. His name was Seth. And through this line of Seth comes this man of Enoch. He is the 7th generation from Adam. Now his history is given to us in Genesis chapter number 4, verses 18 through 20, or Lamech, the 7th from Adam through Cain. You see, there's two lines. There's the evil line, and there's the righteous line. We talked a little bit about that this morning in our message, how that there has always been a conflict between righteousness and unrighteousness. Now, out of Adam came Cain, who killed his brother Abel, and through his lineage, through Cain's line, 7 generations down, there is a man by the name of Lamech. And we're not going to go into the scripture what it says about him, but the one thing that it does say is that he was a murderer. And so there's a great contrast between the lineage or the line of Cain and the line of Seth. And it's interesting to note that in Genesis chapter 4, we have recorded in verses 18 through 24 the history of Lamech. But then in Genesis 5, the same verses 18 through 24, we have the history of Enoch. One chapter's difference in them, the same verses, but my, there is a great difference in their life. And the difference in these two men in history, Enoch's history ends with a removal to glory. And what a wonderful thought it is that God took him. Lamech's history ends with revealing of guilt, that he was a murderer. He had killed a man. And he tells his wives about that. Not only that, these two men are the seventh from Adam through those different lines. Faith produces nobility. When we are faithful to the Lord, we are noble in the things of God. We have the blessings of the Lord upon us. But the flesh produces notoriety. The flesh can make us known in the world. The flesh can make us popular with the world. The flesh can make us have a good name with society. But faith is what produces nobility, and that the Lord looked upon that, and God saw the faith of Enoch, and therefore God blessed him. Let's look in verse number 5. On the first two words here, it says, by faith. This is the cause, or this is the reason, that the Bible tells us that God took him by faith. He had a unwavering faith in the God of heaven. He had the message. He had the knowledge of the Lord. And therefore God took him. And that was the root cause of his translation. Some people might think, well, because Enoch walked with God, God took him. No, God took him because he had great faith in the Lord. God removed him. God translated or raptured him out of this world because of his faith in God. His faith produced a lifestyle of pleasing God, a lifestyle of walking with God. The Scripture says that he had this testimony that he pleased God. And so all these things are working in this deliverance and this cause of the parting or the leaving of this world and going to heaven is because he was a man of faith, a man that believed God, a man that trusted the Lord, a man that had unwavering faith in a society that was as wicked as any society that has ever been. We think about seven generations from creation. Surely things wouldn't be too bad. But it's just a few generations on down, just a few years past the life of Enoch, that there comes a man on the scene by the name of Noah, and Noah is given the message of destruction upon this world because of the wickedness of man was great upon the earth. And so we find that Enoch lived in a terrible, terrible time, a terrible condition. And this made his faith much greater, much more visible, because the darker the time is, the darker the world is, the brighter the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And therefore, Enoch stood out. And the Bible says that his faith produced a lifestyle that God looked upon and that God was pleased with. And he was translated. We mentioned this, the last message on Enoch. Translated just simply means to change the place of abode. It means change of condition. And certainly Enoch, when he was translated, he changed his place of living. He changed his condition of life. And his translation was a result of the faith that he had in the God of heaven. Now, let's go back to Genesis. Turn this down just a little bit. Let's go back to the book of Genesis, chapter number 5. And let's notice some things here about Enoch. Genesis, chapter number 5, and verse number 23. The story is given from verses 18 on down through verse 25. But in Genesis chapter number 5 and verse number 23, I'm in the wrong chapter. Genesis chapter 4, verse number, well, I'll get right in a minute. Let me find where I am. I wrote down the wrong verse here. I'm in the right. Verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God. This particular passage of Scripture I've got listed here. I looked up some information this afternoon on these dates and times, and I take for granted that the fellows that I read after had done all the study, and so I wrote it down for us. This parting, or this rapture, or this translation that took place, it occurred just 47 years after the death of Adam. So we're dealing with long-term living, because before the flood, men lived almost to be 1,000 years old. And so just 47 years after Adam died, we have the translation of Enoch. So that tells us that Adam and Enoch lived, they were living at the same time period and probably in some of the same areas. And we find that the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 6 that it was a wicked world in which they lived. 55 years before Adam's third son Seth died, Enoch was translated. 300 years after his son Methuselah was born, he was translated. 69 years before Noah was born, he was translated. He was taken out. And so this translation occurred 669 years before the flood. And so his birth and his life was something that was usable and workable in the cause of Christ. And God gave many years for the wicked to repent. You notice when the Bible opens up the story of the flood, God says, "I will not always strive with man." As many years as God had given, there came a time and there came a point that God wasn't going to fool with sin any longer. He was going to judge sin, and He did that in the flood. Now, as Enoch was before the flood and he was removed, he is a type and a picture of you and I before the judgment of God upon this earth, because of the same style of wickedness that God has given a space and time for men to repent, and they will not. And so there's going to come a time when there's going to be a translation of all of us that are believers, and we are going to be removed from this world. And the reason for that is the same reason as for Enoch. It's going to be because of our faith. Our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our faith in the Son of God. And so we find here that Enoch was removed from this earth because of his faith, because of his actions, because of his deeds, and what a privilege it was for him not to see death. The Bible says there in the book of Hebrews, where we read, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Now, it's going to be a privilege. We think about that in our own personal life. What a great time it would be if the Lord was to come now, tonight or tomorrow, and we wouldn't have to go through that veil that we call death. We wouldn't have to go through that valley that's the valley of the shadow of death, and we would not have to suffer the consequences of sin destroying this body, but that we would just be removed from this world. We call that the rapture, and we look forward to that. We pray to the very end of that, because as John said, "Even so come Lord Jesus," that is our echo throughout all the generations, that Jesus is coming, and therefore we say, "Come, Lord Jesus," because what a privilege it will be not to see death. What a joy it will be not to have to go that way, but to be taken of the Lord. As Enoch was removed from a sinful world because of his faith, also thousands will experience that same translation. We call it the rapture. Over in 1 Thessalonians, turn there, very familiar verses of Scripture. But in the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 4, Thessalonians, chapter number 4, 1 Thessalonians. The Bible says in verse number 16, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. You know what that is? Translated. We are going to have the same experience that Enoch had in the Old Testament in the time when the Lord comes. We're going to be caught up, the Bible says. And he says, together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. It's a comforting fact to know that Jesus is coming. It's a comforting fact to know that things are not going to continue on as they are. It's a joy in our heart to realize and know that one day somewhere out there in the future, and I don't believe it's very far off, that the Lord's going to come and receive us unto Himself. We're going to be removed and we're going to be just like Enoch, and we shall not see death. What a blessed thought that is, that we will not have to die because of the power of God that comes upon us. New Testament times, we call it the rapture, and God called it the translation of Enoch. Now the Bible says he was not found. That tells me that somebody looked for him. He was not found. I put here, it's the protest of faith. There are always those that will not believe and will not accept the common understanding and the common knowledge that God has done something miraculous. Now the New Testament tells us that when the rapture takes place, the Bible says that the world is going to believe a lie and they're going to follow after the Antichrist. Even though all evidence is that there are people that are missing, there are people that went to church, there are people that have been preaching it and talking about it, your friends, your loved ones that you have dealt with and folks that we talk to all the time that Jesus is coming, as obvious as what will be taking place, they will not believe because the Scripture says that they're going to believe a lie. There'll be strong delusion upon them and they will not accept the common truth that Jesus has received us unto Himself. I believe it's the same way with Enoch. I believe when he was taken from the Lord, I believe there was those that looked for him even though he was not. Even though he did not see death, and some of them maybe knew exactly what had taken place. And the Bible says he was not found. That means somebody was looking for him. Somebody was out searching. Where is Enoch? There are those that would always disbelieve. Unbelief is always looking for Enoch. Unbelievers are always busy about trying to take care of the miraculous. A lot of the TV programs you hear and hear about are programs that try to explain away the miraculous. They'll try to explain away the crossing of the Red Sea. They'll try to explain away the crossing of the Jordan. They'll try to explain away the healing of diseases. They'll try to explain away the raising of the dead that Jesus did in His earthly life, to Lazarus and those others that that He had contact with that had died. And as we heard on one of the little clips the other day from our camp meeting, Jesus never preached a funeral because everywhere He went, people were brought to life that were dead. And so the world disbelief and unbelief of God will tell them that there's got to be a reasonable solution for what has taken place. I used to wonder how in the world that as much as we talk about the coming of the Lord, as much in our country that people have heard, books have been written, movies have been made, spectacular events have been shown about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I have wondered how in this world, if it was to take place now, how would they not believe? Well, the Bible says that they have strong delusions sent to them from God, and they will not believe the truth, they will believe a lie. I don't know how that takes place, but I certainly know the Scripture says it will take place. And when Enoch was removed from this earth, the Bible says here that he was not found. Unbelief is not a head problem, it's a heart problem. Unbelief is not trying to figure it out. Unbelief is just rejecting the common understanding of the Word of God. You know why a person dies and goes to hell? It's because of unbelief. It's a heart problem. It's a problem of the soul. It's a problem of the heart. And because of their unbelief, they will not accept the Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ who died for them. Unbelief willingly is ignorant of the truth. Even though the truth is there, clear, they will reject it because of the unbelieving heart in which they have. And so the Scripture tells us there in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 that Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found. He just was not there. As much as he may have been looked for and as much as people may have tried to find it, he was not found because he had been taken home to be with the Lord. That is a picture of you and I one day being taken home to be with God. Our friends and loved ones may look for us, but we'll not be found. Our family, some of them may look for us. And they wonder, where in the world are we? Where have we gone? And it'll be just like Enoch. We will not be found. What a blessed thought that is to know that we'll be with the Lord forever and forever. And just as it says he was not found, and that's the unbelief of those that look for him, it's also a proof. It's a proof of his faith. He was not found. Faith is not without proof or evidence. You see, when we have faith in God, when we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is an evident action in our life. There's evidence in our life that we are a believer. There are things that will prove to those around us that we believe God and we trust the Lord. And so the Scripture says here that Enoch, as he walked with God, he was taken, he was not found, and that's just a proof of his faith. For it's impossible to please God without it. It's impossible to have a pleasing life without faith. And so this word was not found, and especially not found, is a word. It's a double negative in the Hebrew language, or in the Greek language rather, and it just simply means that he was not found then, he was not found later, and he will not be found today. He's gone. And that's exactly what will happen to us when the rapture takes place. We will not be found that day. We will not be found the next day, or the next day, or the next year, or the next 7 years. We will not be found because we are gone. We have been taken, snatched away by a loving God, a loving Savior, that is bringing wrath upon this earth because of its unbelief, because of its wickedness, just like Enoch was snatched away before the wickedness of the earth was judged by God by the great flood. So there is the proof of faith. Now the Bible tells us there in the book of Hebrews that he had this testimony that he pleased God. Pleasing faith. Had a testimony. This past, this past week in our Bible time, we talked about a person has some things that everybody has. We have a testimony. We have what people think about us. And it's pretty well dependent upon how we live, of what kind of testimony we have. When people call your name, when you call certain names in the Scripture, their testimony comes to your mind. If I mention tonight the lady by the name of Rahab, what do you think of? Talk to me. Rahab the what? She didn't die that way, but that was her testimony. When you think of Judas, who do you think? What do you think? Traitor. That was his testimony. That's how he lived. When we hear people's names, we immediately associate something with that name. And that is our testimony. I think we ought to guard our testimony. I think we ought to guide our testimony. I think we ought to have a testimony when people hear Grace Baptist Church, when they hear that name, that this church has a testimony in this community, in this area, in this state, around the world, that we have a testimony. I have preachers that I know all the time say, do you know so-and-so? And I've never heard of them. I don't know. They said, well, they know about you. I thought, well, that's scary. I wonder what they know about me. But they have a testimony. Grace Baptist Church has a has a great testimony with people. And the world out there knows about us and knows about our faith in the Lord. And so the Bible says here that Enoch had a testimony. And that testimony was that he pleased God. What a great testimony. He pleased God. He walked by faith. He lived by faith. And he pleased God. That's the who. It doesn't matter if we please anybody else, but we better please God. It doesn't matter if we please men, but we better please the Lord. The most important who in our life is the God of heaven. The most important person in our life is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are to please Him. Enoch had this testimony. Now we'll see in a moment that Enoch, he didn't live in an easy world. He lived in a wicked world, and so therefore he had a testimony. Everybody that knew Enoch knew that he believed God. Everybody that had come in contact with this man Enoch heard his proclamation that God is going to judge the world because of their sin. The little book of Jude, verse 15, tells us that. Now, he was a prophet of God. I asked a preacher, I said, who is the first prophet in the Bible? I didn't have any idea. And he said, well, the Bible says that Enoch prophesied, so that would make him the first one. He proclaimed the message. He proclaimed the Word of God, and the Bible says here that in that proclamation, he had a testimony. Now, he didn't necessarily have a testimony just with God, but he had a testimony with men that he pleased God. Had a testimony in his society. And he had this before his translation. Now, sometimes when folks pass away and we come to the visitation or the funeral or even the gravesite, that individual may have been the most ungodly, wicked person that you know of, but there's always somebody say, well, he's a pretty good fella. Now that's testimony of what man says, but that's different than what God says. But Enoch had a testimony with God, first of all, and then he had a testimony with people around him before his translation, before he left this world, that he pleased God. I put down here, he pleased God a long time before his reward. The Bible tells us at age 65, he began to walk with God. He died at 365, so there's 300 years there that he walked with God. 300 years. We can't imagine that. Because we struggle to make it to 80. And here's a man that he wasn't ready to die as far as age was concerned, because his son lived almost three times longer than he did. And so he wasn't an old man at 365 years old. He wasn't crippled and decrepit and in a wheelchair and he couldn't get around. Enoch was a very active man. But God took him. And so he pleased God. He did it before his translation. And he pleased God a long time, 300 years. He pleased God not only a long time before his reward, but he just pleased God a long time. Willing to suffer. Even in the bad times, even in the wicked society in which he lived. Turn over to Jude, that little book right before Revelation. Someone has classified the book of Jude as the preface to the Revelation. That's pretty good. You know, a preface is the portion of a book right before you get into the main text. Well, the book of Jude be a pretty good preface to the main text of Revelation. And Jude only has one chapter, verse number 14. And Enoch also the seventh from Adam. Now that's what we dealt with a while ago. Seven generations. Seventh from Adam prophesied of these saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. Somebody said, well, I thought that was a New Testament doctrine. No. That's been a teaching of the Bible from the very beginning, that the Lord's going to come one day with thousands and ten thousands of His saints. And so Enoch, the Bible says here that he prophesied or he preached the coming of the Lord. Well, it's probably the time that he lived, probably everybody believed him. That's our first thought, because it's so far back, and you know, things are so much worse now than they've ever been. I don't believe they're very much worse now than they've ever been. I believe it's always been bad. It may be more pronounced now. We may have better ways of communication, but the Bible says that the man's heart was only evil continually back in the book of Genesis when Noah built the ark. And remember now, Noah lived just shortly after Enoch. And so the period of time that Enoch lived, that he prophesied and preached that the Lord was coming, well, what did he preach? Well, he preached judgment. And judgment is never a popular subject matter, especially to the unbeliever. You'll notice here in verse number 15, that he says, 14, he says, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of His saints." There's not a period there, there's a comma. And this is what he preached: to execute judgment upon all. God's going to judge the world. That's our message tonight. God is going to judge the world. Not only that, but to convince all. Here's the kind of people that he dealt with. To convince all that are ungodly. Among them, all their ungodly deeds. Now, the only thing that ungodly people can do are ungodly deeds. Ungodly people do not do godly deeds. Now, we have a society that tries to tell us that they do, but ungodliness begets ungodliness. And here, Enoch, he prophesied that God was going to bring judgment upon those that were ungodly, those that committed those ungodly deeds, which they have the ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him. Here, Enoch's message was a message of judgment, because he lived in a wicked society, a wicked world, and he said, God is going to judge you for your ungodliness and your ungodly deeds and your ungodly ways and your ungodly speeches against God. Enoch said, God is going to bring judgment upon you for that. So Enoch's pleasing was certainly not to the world. It was to the Lord. His times were very difficult and very hard. We have no idea what our times are going to be. We have, in America, we have been blessed of the Lord, and we have been spared so many of the things that the rest of the world have suffered down through these generations. We have been spared all the turmoil and the struggles of the Mao Zedongs in China and the Stalins of Russia and the Hitlers of Germany. We have been spared all of that. And it's by the grace of God that we have. But that does not mean our society is not wicked. Just because we don't see it does not mean it's not there. When Mao Zedong was in rule and in authority, he multiplied hundreds of thousands of Chinese Christians. And then we have a lady or a woman stand up and say one of her great philosophers is Mao Zedong in our government. They ought to string her up. He was a hater of the gospel. He was a hater of the Christian. He was a hater of freedom, and all he wanted was his power. So it's a wicked society. And the message that Enoch preached is the message that we preach. I'm sure they hated Enoch with a passion. But God stole him away. They're going to hate us, and they do hate us with a passion for what we stand for. I heard somebody other day make the statement that the people that are causing all the problems in our country are the fundamentalist Christians. Now you might as well get ready. That is the mindset that is coming upon our country. And just as they hate us with a passion, as they hated Enoch with a passion, one day, praise be the Lord, He's going to steal us away. And we'll not be found. And they'll say, where is He? Thank God for His grace. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. If we're going to please God, it has to be by faith. Then lastly, there's the path and the preaching of faith. Enoch walked with God. He prophesied, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of His saints. He preached faithfully. He preached forthfully. And He preached fearlessly. That should be the way we stand for our God. Should stand for Him faithfully. Do not compromise. Do not change the message of God's Word. His message is true. His message is real. His message will stand. We are to preach and stand for Him forcefully. I don't believe that Enoch was a man of weak speech. He prophesied the judgment of God upon ungodliness forcefully. And he preached fearlessly. I don't believe Enoch ever backed down. I believe he preached his message into the society in which he lived, and that faith produced a courage. And when things got so bad and judgment was about to fall, God took him. Well, what a picture that is for you and I. When judgment is about to fall upon this old earth, God will take us. God will deliver us from the wrath. He will deliver us from the wrath that falls upon this earth. That Enoch represents the believer. He represents the Christian that stands for truth and righteousness and faith of the Son of God. And as he represents that in the Old Testament, we are snatched away, we are taken out, and we are removed before the judgment falls. Now, one of the other men that we'll look at is Noah. He went through the flood. And Noah represents the Jew. God removes us, but God delivers the Jew through the tribulation. And they come out on the other side, just like Noah and his family did, ready to serve God. May the Lord help us to be like Enoch, to live by faith. As we read those verses tonight, there's probably not, if I'd have thought, I'd have counted how many words there are in the Scripture about this man called Enoch. There's probably less than 300 words in the Bible concerning this man. But as we've studied him, we find that he was a man that believed God, trusted God, had faith, and he was delivered because of his faith. Next time we'll look at by faith again, the same two words. Start out verse 4, verse 5, verse 7, verse 8, verse 9, by faith. This is a faith chapter. And next time we'll look at the faith of Noah. May God help us to be one that might be said about us that we obtain a good report simply because we live by faith. Pleasing the Lord because of the faith that we have in the Son of God. Let's stand together tonight.